ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהים מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
אמן.
Mizmor Chavdalav, page 216. 216, we started this yesterday, this word of Nafshi. We'll take a little bit of a glimpse at the at the Mincha Shai. There are three different ways to read the word Nafshi. Izim Nafshi, Nafshol, let's see the words again. Lechichataim, so clean hands, Var Levav. Someone who has clean hands and Var Levav has a pure heart, Asher Lo Yinosol Lashav Nafshi, who has not lifted up in vain my neshama. We have Talmud yesterday. What does it mean to nosa, to lift up? To lift up is a borrowed. It would appear it's a borrowed term. It means when you make an oath, you hold in your hand an object, a sacred object, like a sefer Torah, an object of tefillin, an object of mitzvah. So here, when we read these words, the person did not swear falsely. You take hold, you lift up Hashem. You did not lift up Hashem's neshama. Now, how could you say such a thing? Refer to Hashem. Hashem doesn't have a neshama. These are terms that we use regarding ourselves, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Enochanami. These are very esoteric. I don't know what they mean. And we're just going to basically assume the word nasa means to take an oath. Below nasa lashav, it's just an expression. Person did not take an oath, lashav nafshi, by Hashem's name.
215, did you say?
216.
Oh, 216.
216. And velo nishval lemimo, he did not swear deceitfully. The pasuk. I'm reading the pasuk. Pasuk dal. I just read the pasuk. I did nothing more than the pasuk. Now let's right away jump into the Mincha Shai, and then maybe we'll come back and we'll look again at the Rashi and the Mitzvot when we finish. The Mincha Shai, we're not going to read the entire thing. We're just going to read bits and pieces. Okay, so the Mincha Shai over here says, Asher lo yinosa lashav nafshi, nafshi kri. The way that we pronounce the word is nafshi. If you notice in our text, in this particular edition, the way we are instructed to read this word is nafshi. And in the brackets, it's spelled nafshoi, his soul. And we read it my soul. The obvious question is, who is speaking in this pasuk? This goes back to what we said yesterday. Who is speaking? Who is speaking? Is Hashem speaking or is David speaking? The answer to that question depends on the inflection of pasuk Gimel. In pasuk Gimel, there's a question being posed. Is the question a serious question where the speaker is expecting an answer, or is it a rhetorical question? If it is a serious question, then you could assume that there is a serious answer. Mi yale v'har Hashem mi yakum b'mkoyim kodesho. David HaMelech is asking a question. Who is able, has the ability to ascend the Har Hashem and to stand in his holy abode? I'm asking a question. I expect an answer. Hashem says, I'll tell you the answer. The answer is, Niki Chapayim uvar levav Hashem lo yinosol lashav nafshi. Hashem is giving you the answer. Hashem is saying someone does not swear by my neshama. Is that the pshat in the pasuk? Maybe the pshat in the pasuk is no. Then this is a rhetorical question. David asked the question, "Mi alav Hashem, mi akum bimkom kodesho," and David himself answers the question. And David says, "Neki chapayim uvar leivav asher lo yinosol lashav nafshoi." Then it would be appropriate for David to say that does not swear by Hashem's neshama v'lo nishval lemirma. So depending on who is giving the answer, which will automatically force us to look at the pasuk before, what is the inflection of the question? Is it a rhetorical question or is it a real question? That's going to make a major difference in the word. Now, our tradition, the way it is presented in this edition, which is based upon the Mincha Shai, his conclusion, is that the correct pronunciation is nafshi, even though the correct spelling is nafsho. There's a kri v'chsif. There's the way you it's spelled and the way you pronounce it. I'm a living example of that. Because my great-grandfather had three sons. Miraculously, they all survived the war. A great miracle. His daughter did not survive the war. He didn't. My great-grandfather himself did not, and his wife, and his daughter were murdered. And his three sons miraculously survived the war. They came to America. Came to Canada and Eretz Yisrael, And Kedarkom, they did not agree on anything. My grandparents, my grandfather had a brother. He spoke to him probably at least twice a day, maybe even more, every single day. They spoke to each other for maybe 50 years, maybe even more, maybe even 60 years. And they literally did not agree on anything. Is it raining outside? Well, if one brother would say, it's a beautiful day today, the other would say, what are you talking about? It's raining outside. They did not agree on anything. And the first issue was, in Poland, the name was pronounced Levin. That is how my great-grandfather was known as Rabbi Levin. How do you spell Levin in Polish? L-E-W-I-N. That is the way you spell Levin.
Were they both Israeli, but one was a lady?
They're both, what are you talking about? They're both Israeli. Okay, so that's, L-E-W, that's a Polish spelling. I mean, if you live in Poland, you saw that spelling. You would pronounce it Levin. That's the way you see that spelling. You read those words in Polish and you pronounce it Levin. Came to America, and if you in that spelling in America, it's pronounced Lewin. Lewin. So my grandfather's brother decided Yesh Ein Lemikra. What's Yesh Ein? I'm sorry. Yesh Ein Lemisores. What is important is to preserve the spelling. Oh, but that's going to result in America. People are going to now pronounce the name with a different pronunciation. Right. So they're going to pronounce it Lewin. So be it. And that's why today we have Nat Lewin.
Right.
Nat Lewin is the son of my grandfather's brother. And my grandfather's brother decided, Yesh Eim Lemisores. We must preserve the spelling. In Poland, they would pronounce it Levin. In America, they pronounce it Lewin. My grandfather would not agree with my grandfather's brother on anything. No. Yeshem Lemikra. What is important is pronunciation. So he changed the spelling from L-E-W-I-N to L-E-V-I-N-E. That's why in my branch of the family, we all pronounce it and spell it Levin. Levin, because we changed it was the spelling. And my cousins, they all are called Lewin. The one that had the last laugh was my grandfather had a twin brother. It's spooky. They looked mamish until the day they died, exactly the same. And he lived in Yerushalayim. He went to Eretz Yisrael right after the war. And right after he went to Yerushalayim, and he lived there, and he could not decide what to do. So in the telephone book, he was listed twice. Lewin. And Levin. Okay, so that's just always the very term, the sugi of Yeshim Lemikra, Yeshim Lemisaris. I like
same
that.
Thing with Levi and Lowy.
Levi and Lowy?
Yeah. Same thing. I have it in my name, Mayevsky, because it's spelled with a vase and spelled in English with an F, because V is pronounced F.
V is pronounced
like Volkswagen. You spell it with a V, Volkswagen. But you pronounce it Volkswagen.
I didn't know that. With an F. Interesting. Yeah. With a V in the European. In which line? In Polish, it's Heiluchud v'Heiluchud. Every language has its set of rules.
Yeah, I know Gu, who's a lady. It's probably from Gu. His name is Gu.
Gu?
L-E-W.
L-E-W.
Yeah.
Lou. All right, any event. Yeah.
Both of them teach us something.
Of course. That's what's meant to be.
That's why it says both ways.
Absolutely. Someone about Kriya Mumcha told me the hardest thing to learn, I don't know why he said, I don't think it's true, but he's really told me, is Megillas Rus. Because Megillas Rus has numerous Kriya Vichsivs. The most Kriya Vichsivs to be found in the Sefer, and that is Rus. So if you're learning Rus from Klaf, You really have to be very careful.
You know.
Got to be careful to make sure you don't mess up on the Kriya Vichsivs. All right, everything's like
that. The Targum over here says Nafsho, right? Nafshe means he's saying Nafsho, right?
His Nafsho, right? Yeah. Very good. So Rabbi Mayaski pointed out something very important. The Targum carries a lot of weight. Yeah. Nafshe. Nafshe is equivalent to Nafsho,
right?
With a Vav.
Okay.
Benafshe means his soul. Nafshe. Okay, let's see the Minchashai. The Minchashai, it's a very unusual. You don't usually see such a long Minchashai. We're not going to do the whole thing. Let's just run through some bits and pieces. So over here, the Minchashai starts and says, Nafshi Kri. That is the pronunciation. That's what we have in our text. Uve Miksa Sifrei Siforad, Kosuv Nafsho Bivov Ze'era. Now, I don't know what this means, Ze'er. Ze'er means small. Ze'er Shom means a small amount. A small Vav. I don't know. A small Vav in contrast to what? Vav Ketia?
The difference between, let's say, a Yud and a cut off Vav.
Oh. So that's what he close. Says. He says over here soon, a Vav Ketia. A Vav Ketia means like Shalom. The Nasati, like Brisi Shalom. Brisi Shalom is a Vav, but it's cut. It's cut in the center, which is an indication you should omit. It's a Shalom.
Rather than
there, it's split, right? So I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know the terminology.
But a shortened version of a vav would closely resemble a yud.
Correct. But then it's a different letter. It's not a vav. It's a yud.
Right. It's right.
So I don't.
It's longer than the yud and shorter than the full vav.
It's so longer it's, than the yud, but shorter than a nun. You mean
it's
a nun?
Longer than the regular yud.
Right.
All right. I don't know. I don't. Okay. Whatever this means. A vav ze'era. V'chein masur or v'chein masur la vav ze'era, that's the mesorah. There's a mesorah he writes over here. There's masur olav means there's a tradition. Vav ze'era, which I'm just translating over here, to mean a regular vav.
Do you think that this might be an allusion to the Aleppo
Rabbis.
Codex? The Aleppo Codex? Yeah, Aleppo Codex?
Rabbi.
Yes, Rabbi Lezer?
You on the evening, so not on the...
Oh, okay. I made a mistake. But give me 1 second. I'm sorry. Okay, let me change over. Okay, I'm sorry.
Tonight, the evening is starting earlier.
I'm on the wrong channel. I'm on the wrong bat channel here. The wrong bat cave. Okay, the laser is very clever. He figured it out. Sign out. This meeting is being recorded. There we go.
Recording in progress.
Okay, Ablaza, thank you. I have to turn on the way. Ablaza, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Could it be that it was influenced by the Aleppo Codex?
I have no idea. I don't know. Very possible. Okay, ho echad. Now here we go. So echad. Now then he goes and he says over here the third line. The Mikashai. V'deos rabos yesh milazo chaluko zo mizo. There are many opinions in this word, and he goes through ho echad. Here is the first opinion. Opinion number one. She'ein kan kri v'chsif. There is no kri v'chsif. We're talking over here, what is the Mesorah? A lot of these things have been lost. When it was originally written, a lot of mistakes have crept in. Today we'll talk about, the second part of the shir, about the Zohar. The Zohar is one, you know, is a book which really, it could not be more messed up than it is. It's something which is just a cut and paste job over 500 years, even more, going back more than 500 years. The original writings and records of Rashbi are long gone. And what we have today, what we call today the Zohar, with its multiple books, and it's a very complicated thing that we have today, which includes many different sections, has been really basically been a cut and paste job for centuries, many centuries. We'll talk about that later on. And because of that, unfortunately, there's a lot of suspicion that there are things in the Zohar that are not accurate. And a lot of manipulation went into the printing of the Zohar over many generations. So same thing, we have over here the Tillum. Tillum obviously was codified way, way back, more than 2,000 years ago, during the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Tehillim must have been, you know, finalized probably even before that, probably even before the Bayis Sheni. I really don't know when Tehillim, you know, we know that Esther, Megillas Esther, was the last book to enter into the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, and that could not possibly have happened until right before. No, I take that back. Esther is not the last one, because we have Chagai Zechariu Malachi, and Malachi lived. He lived 40 years into the Bayis Sheni. So there's no question that the Sifrei Tanakh were not finalized until towards the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. So and it's been a long time since that period of time, and there's been a lot of difficult, challenging eras in Jewish history, where things got distorted, Sephardim got lost, and the Sarah became very, very weak. And a lot of things happened, and therefore, when it comes to Nevi'im, we have over here, we don't even know what the true Messiah is. We have a doubt over here. The Minhag HaShai is acknowledging that there are three opinions as to what is the correct tradition. What should it really say in this house? What was the intent? So number one, he says over here, She'en kan kri v'chsif. There is no kri v'chsif. What it says over here in the art scroll above on top of the page is incorrect. Disposely of lo nosola shav nafsho. His neshama. And that's indeed what it says in the Targum. I guess we pointed out it says in the Targum nafsho. V'cheinira meha metargim. You see, Rabbi Mariesky on the mark. That's what it says in the Targum. Shetirgim licha yovo nafshe. He did not. He, a person did not
Somebody
commit
risk his life
or really
you'll see.
Okay, fine. The Chayim, the Bereshis Rabba, Parashon Nun Tesim and Zion, over here the Midrashim, over here they're obviously a different system of breaking up chapters in Chumash, in Bereshis Rabba, Parashon Nun Tesim and Zion. There it's talking about something else, and Moshe did not, or maybe he interprets as possible, Moshe did not do anything wrong. Okay, I mean, that's a drasha, that's a medish, I don't know what that means. It's something not for now.
Through,
yeah.
Examples of Mesiras Nefesh, Moshe, Abraham.
Moshe Lenosa Lashov Nafsho Shel Mitzri. What does that mean? He did not.
He killed the Mitzri. That was a risk of his life.
But how do you translate the word Shlo Nosan Lashav Nafsho Shel Mitzri?
If you continue, you'll see.
All right, fine.
That's what it's talking about.
Dover Acher Midaber BiAvram Asher Lo Nosan Lashav Nafsho Shel Nimroid.
No, that he did not risk his life
for nothing. Okay, you can interpret over here to mean without going into the details that he did not do it for nothing. What he did was valid. It was worthwhile. It achieved results. When Avraham Avinu allowed himself to be thrown into the Kivshan HaEsh, when Moshe Rabbeinu he executed the Mitzri by Yar Kienish, he saw this Mitzri was an evil man, and it was necessary to eliminate him, even though it was a great risk for Moshe to do such a thing. Dovar Acher Midaber BiYakov Asher Lo Inosu Lashav Nafsho Shel Lavan. Yaakov risked his life in going down to make a livelihood by Lavan. Ach,
and then
running away. Ach, the medrash haniska hanimsa etzlinu, but the first kasa betchila asher lo inoso lashov nafsho, zen moshe, moshe kasa le'el v'yakach ha'imer, as Avraham asher lo inoso lashov nafshi. So there's another medrash, even in the midrashim, that cite this pasuk. We're not going into the details of what these midrashim actually mean. We're just looking over here, that over here in the midrashim, the Minhag HaShai is taking note that there are two different versions of the Medrash, and in one version it cites this possible word nafshi, b'fonav shel nimroid, d'vrach ez ha'yakov ha'shul rez lo shav nafshi, v'lovon ayin shom, gam hechacham balu ha'kedo, בתחילה שרה ובסוף שער בקפי ובל נדעי שלום בבמה יו פרקי ובל הקורם בבמה גימו חלק כולם נהודור של נפשי בבוף כן כוסר בליו המדקדק בספר מסורס המסורס המתס של שלו הנה במסורס המדויוקריס לא ניקו חבוב הקטן ובב זהירו אך ובב קטיה so ובב קטיה means a יוד it's a יוד פירוש קיצוצה מעט מלמטה it's cut down כמו as בריסי שלוים Vav kitia, chelo nasal hashav nafsho. Vav kitia. Now it could be over here that he's saying over here something different. I didn't appreciate this. Over here he's saying is that maybe the vav over here is getting a nupshan. Maybe there's a fourth mahalik. It seems he's saying that there's supposed to be a vav kitia. So shalom in parshas Pinchas has a zivuk. Everyone knows that in parshas Pinchas, v'nasati lo yisbrisi. I will give to Pinchas my covenant of Shalom. And in the Sefer Torah, the Vav is split. The Vav is cut in the center. That is the Mesoira. And the reason why it's cut in the center is an indication that really there should be no Vav. It should be Shalom, not Shalom. And it enters all the Darshanim to explain the difference between the word Shalom and Shalem. And this is the Misur. The Misur is there should be a Vav. It has to be a Vav, but it has to be split in the center. So he's suggesting here.
He said once that what the Kotzki Rebbe said, En davar yoter shalem milev shavur.
There's nothing more complete than a broken.
Is broken.
To express the idea. The ultimate shlemus is a broken heart. The Vav represents the heart. You split it. It represents the shlemus of a broken heart. So there's a lot of drew, a lot of beautiful ideas to bring out why there's a vav kitia, but most of us thought are of the impression that this is one of a kind. There is no parallel to the vav kitia in parash Pinchas anywhere b'chol hatarukul. And along comes the Mincha Shai, and he's citing over here this person Eliyahu. The Mesoris Hamiduyokois loikaru havav kitan vav zera elu havav kitia. Same exact thing. And he says there should be a broken Vav. So it's really a Vav, and the Vav is split in the center. This is not a Kri V'chsif. The Vav Kitia is a world to itself. And what it means, I don't know, whatever it means. He writes here, V'tomati ani al kol ha'mefarsh ma'asher isi shalafi perish kulam hu ksiv nafshi ukri nafsh. It's ksiv nafsh. Now, I don't know if the nikud nafshiv, ukri nafshi. I don't know if there's a mistake here, there's not a mistake, who knows what you're writing. Over here it says nafshiv.
It's written with a vav.
Over here he puts a chiruk. I don't know. I don't know.
Nafshi with a yod.
I don't know what he means over here when he writes over here, huksiv nafshiv. I don't know what that means. Because we've been learning over here until now nafsho. And over here he puts a dot over here, which means in the plural. And when it's plural, you ordinarily have a yud in between a shin and a vav. Is there such a thing of nafshiv? That's not the way you refer to a plural of neshamais. Doesn't make any sense. I don't know what this means. V'chein yisi grovan uschoyes ha-musarias v'ein sadiki hu tohus soifrim v'to bein zeu bein podo nafsho me'avor, another pasuk, ba-shachas ken iyov shukri Nafshi, there's a kri v'chsif. V'chein nimle imem aleph milin d'chsif vav v'karin and yud. Lashav nafsho v'lo nimle imachem, it's not included. Harei she'ena elavav, ena elavav kitiya. So the thing over here, and basically over here, is that he's suspecting that the printers are not familiar with this word of nafshi, that it should be a vav kitia, it should be like esbrisi shalom. And when they came to print this pasuk, they got all confused, flustered, because of their ignorance, and they decided, the person sitting at the printing machine, who doesn't know from nothing, decided, oh, I'm now going to make this into a kri v'chsif. And lo, they made this up. There's no such thing. They're confusing a pasuk in Eoiv, where there ain hachinami, that is a real bona fide kri v'chsif. And I know that I'm right, because we have a Mesorah, and the Mesorah enumerates 41 Kivich Sivs, and this is not one of them. This is not one of them. There are 41 places in Tanakh. This is part of the Mesora Gedoyla, the Mesora Kitana. We're not really into this type of stuff. The Mesora, because we have these very nice printed article books, which everything is done with precision, so we're not familiar with this. They even actually took it out. They removed it from the classic Mikroyos Gedoylas, the Mesora Gedoyla and the Mesora Kitana. Rabbi Orlian, Zecher Levracha, he was very into this. And maybe one day we'll go through the Hakdama to his Sefer Hagan, where he has a very beautiful elaboration on the Mesora Gedoyla and the Mesora Kitana. And this has been basically disappeared from all of our books, these two things. But these books, there's a very fascinating scientific method and system to preserve the Mesora. And everything is recorded with numbers telling you exactly how many times a word appears like this, how many times it appears like this. You know, it's very similar. It's really similar to what they do today with encryption or with checksum, packets and computers. When you send information over the internet or over any electronical, before you send information, there's an algorithm which counts all the letters, all of the packet of information. It does some mathematical formula and comes up with a number. It sends the number. It then sends the packet of information, and the one and the machine on the receiving end receives the packet and makes the same calculation, and then checks to see if the number, the code, equals the code that's sent. If I go give you a sentence, and I'll give you a very complicated formula, take every single character, multiply it by such and such, and then divide it by this, and multiply it by that, and it'll come up with a number. And do that for every sentence that I give you. So I transmit a sentence across the world, and I send the number. The person on the receiving end gets that number. They make the same calculation, the same formula to the sentence that they received. If they don't come up with the same result, it means the message has been tampered with. The packet is not authentic. Okay, when someone sends you a letter, how do you know the letter is correct? Maybe on the way, the messenger, he tampered with the letter. He changed some words. He changed the message. So you send the code, and the code can only be retrieved through analyzing, through manipulating and doing a mathematical formula on the message. You do the mathematical formula on the message, and you come up with a number, and if that number equals the number that you've been sent, then you know that the message is authentic. This is used every single second, every single piece of information that you send that goes online on the internet is sent in packets with what's called a checksum, which is the verification that the packet is correct and has not been tampered with. And the more sophisticated you get, the more you want to make sure there's no tampering, the more sophistication these algorithms get. You know, they have today what's called the blockchain. Okay, cryptocurrency is all based on extremely, extremely advanced types of encryption and, you know, verification, validation of information. It's very, very sophisticated. So that's really, all of that is found in the Mesora. Ein chodosh tachas ha-shemesh. The Mesora Gedoyla and the Mesora Kitana was a very sophisticated technique to guarantee that when you look at a page and it says the word nafshi, you can be certain it's supposed to be nafshi and not nafshoi. Because there was a number that was next to it, which somehow, according to the system that was used, validated that this is the correct spelling of the word. So all we have to do, the Mincha Shai says, all we got to go do is go to the code. And in the code, there is absolutely no indication whatsoever that this is a Kivach Siv. So therefore, someone here made a big mistake. Someone, and he suspects a printer made this mistake. It was originally meant to be a Vav Kitia, just like the word Vinasatius Brisi Shalom. And all the drush, the Parshas Pinchas, you can go and you can get to work and try to figure out what it means over here. Nafshoy nafshi avav kitia. Avav kitia has absolutely nothing to do with kvivachsef.
If we look at the text here, the question, mi ya'ale, everything is gufrishi, him. Mi ya'ale, mi yakum, and mi kokocho. And this entire pasuk here talks about nikichapayim valevav, not about me, it's about somebody. So it makes sense, the vav here. The whole thing is
well, it depends. It all depends who's speaking. It all depends. That's the question. That's what we started with. That was the machlokes.
That's why the Targum says lechayav nafshei.
Okay, that's a Targum. We're going to have to be miyashay. We're going to have to because we're going to have multiple opinions. Okay, so we'll see. Let's see. Lechem da'agos l'shoroshim kosav amar eliyo lashov nafsho rabim toyim sevum shu kosav nafsho v'kui nafshi ve'en elavav zin. No, there's no such thing. Okay, that's it. Therefore, we've gone now through the first opinion. The first opinion says that it's nafsho. This is not a kvivachsev. It's a regular word, and the word is nafsho. Period. Art scroll then should go make a correction. It should say lo yinoso lashov nafsho v'zehu. He did mention in passing such a possibility of called the Vav Kitia, which is fascinating, which would be a great topic of discussion when you come to Parashas Pinchas and pull out this Mincha Shai, and you'll shock the living daylights out of all the people in Shul when you'll show them this Mincha Shai, that there's another Vav Kitia in Tanakh, in Mizmor Chav Dalet, that you say pretty often, you say every single day, you say every day, you say Torah. Now he goes to Adas Hasheni.
What did the Rosh Yeshiva say? Nafshi or Nafsham?
Whatever it says in the Siddur. Whatever it says in the article Siddur.
But wait a second. The way he said, you know, well, for Zeira.
Means a regular Vav. The word, the way he's using
short,
the word,
a short
Vav. What do you mean? Maybe he means
a
regular. For some reason, he's using the term Zeira to mean what we call a regular Vav.
Right.
There's a not regular Vav. I don't know what he means. Maybe it means a nun. You know,
a little shorter than the full.
What is a nun? I think the nun is, it's not a nun because the nun is in the center. It's not the same. A nun, it has to come out
let's
of
say,
the center.
I this too. A vav is like, let's say, 10 measures. So this is like 9 or 8.
So what do you call it? Zira. All right, whatever it is.
Zira is small.
Zer means small. Yeah, so why is it? What's big? What would be called a vav?
Vav is a big letter.
Vaizosa. Vaizosa in the Megillah is a large vav.
Vav is, let's say, 10
measures.
10 measures.
Right, so you want to.
Okay, a vav zero is 9 or 8 measures.
You have that in Vayikra. The
very first aleph,
small
aleph. An aleph zeira, but this is not a small vav. This is a regular vav. So why is he calling it zeira?
No, it should be a small vav. That's the error that they
a
make.
A small vav is a yud.
They're saying it pre-ksiv. Right. Where do you see it's not small?
Let's right now just leave it. Let out. Reality here, he presented to us the first opinion, which obviously carries a lot of weight. Carries a lot of weight is there's a mistake in the art scroll edition. It should say loynoso lashov nafsho. Take away these brackets. Take away these all these funny things here. Nafshoy, don't confuse me with and I'll prove it to you because nowhere in the Mesoira does it say that it's a kvivachsev. So just cut out the nonsense. Cut out the nonsense and just write nafsho. What are you doing over here? Finished. Then he says, Hadas Hasheni. The second opinion is, Shakosav Nafshi Ukri Nafsho. Now that's not what we do. That's the opposite. This indeed is a Krivichsiv, but the opposite of what we do. What we have over here in the text is what it says in every Tehillim. Every Tehillim it says Nafshi. That's the American standard. The American standard of Psalms is Nafshi. It's a kvivachsev. Open up any Tehillim, this is what has become the standard for whatever the reason is. Now, the Ibn Ezra says a kvivachsev. Ibn Ezra says, you know, you got it all wrong. It's a kvivachsev, it's taka written Nafshi, but the correct pronunciation is Nafsho. Let's look at Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, v'nafsho, it says v'nafsho, etzem kvod Hashem, okay, the essence of Hashem, kvod nishva, b'nafsho, v'chosuv nafshi. Okay? The way it's written in the text should be nafshi, but the way we pronounce it is nafsho. That's Ibn Ezra. The opposite of what it says in every single Siddur. Derech kinui ba'avur kvar Hashem, al derech v'yisi ani v'ni shlomo chato'im, kasher pirashti v'inei hizkir ha'maseh v'halev v'halosh. He's going into his Kabbalistic in Yanim. Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Isai, is not for the faint of heart. Okay? Ibn Ezra is one of the hardest Sepharim to read, to understand. I don't think it was not meant for publication. Ibn Ezra, from my understanding, was private notes.
Right.
Private notes, and history. Someone leaked. They leaked it to the press. Here we have it in front of us. Okay, I learned Rabbi Chaim Kinievsky, I looked at him and said, Rabbi Zichman, the Oitzer Polois, he always quotes these outrageously bizarre things that he found in the Ibn Ezra, all over Tanakh, and he presents them to Rabbi Chaim Kinievsky, who passed away, and Rabbi Chaim says to him, he writes there, he says to him, don't challenge me from an Ibn Ezra. The Rabbi Chaim says, an Ibn Ezra? You're coming to shake me up because you found an Ibn Ezra that says like a way out, bizarre thing? Listen, the Ibn Ezra is the Ibn Ezra. It's in a class by itself. It's not something. He says some of these amazing things that, what in the world did he say?
It
didn't
make sense what he said.
What?
It didn't make sense.
Okay, so we're going to have to go over it.
Somebody swears by the nefesh shel Hashem, but it's not nice to say that. You're not to look about Hashem.
Yeah.
That's why he said nafshi.
Yeah, but no. But he's saying that's the way. No, that's what we do. That's not even Ezra. It's just the opposite.
No, he says
he calls it the
Ibn Ezra says that the right. correct spelling is nafshi. So the question is, who is speaking? If David is the speaker, it doesn't make any sense why David would put in letters nafshi. If Hashem is speaking, and we are repeating what Hashem said, then it makes sense.
No, David says it.
No, if David is the speaker, so David should just say nafsho.
He takes it on himself. He doesn't want to say nafsho, so
that is wrong
because it's not.
No, but that's not what Ibn Ezra says. Ibn Ezra is just the opposite. The Ibn Ezra says that the spelling, Ibn Ezra is the opposite of our text. In our text, the Ibn Ezra says that it should be, the ksiv should be nafshi. That's what should be written in the pasuk, which means that's the real literal meaning. And because it's not derech eretz, so we don't pronounce it nafshi; we pronounce it nafsho. Now that would make a lot of sense if the speaker is Hashem, if the Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking, and David now is quoting. I'll give you a quote from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I asked Hashem a question. Manishan, Ribbono Shel Olam, mi yale b'har Hashem, umi yoku b'mkoyim kodshon. So Hashem responded. Hashem sent the baskol. He replied, and Hashem said, "Niki chapayim uvar leivav asher loy noson lashav nafshi." So that was Hashem's response. So when David will, when we read what Hashem said, it's not derech eretz for us to actually repeat mila b'mila what Hashem said. So out of derech eretz, we say asher lo yinoso lashov nafsho. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who actually replied, and this is a quotation from Hashem, it makes a lot of sense that it says nafshi. But when we relate and repeat what happened, we tell over the story. David asked the question, Hashem responded, this was Hashem's response. It's not derech eretz for us to repeat exactly what Hashem said. Because by doing so, we're saying about Hashem nafshi, from Hashem's perspective. So we change it out of Derech Eretz to Nafsha. It would, but then you have to, this would work beautifully if, and that's obviously what the Ibn Ezra holds, that this Pasuk is a quotation from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. David in the previous Pasuk asked a question. I have a question. Hashem, tell me, mi yaleh b'har Hashem, u'mi yakum b'mkayim kodesho. David, listen. Hashem, I'll give you the answer. The answer is, okay, now I have an answer. Now let's record your answer, Hashem, so that the Jewish people can always repeat the story. I asked the question, you gave the answer. But when we today read Hashem's answer, it's disrespectful for us to repeat it by saying Nafshi. So we repeat it with Derech Eretz and say Nafsha. That's what the Ibn Ezra. The problem is that that's not what we have in our, that's not the end, that's not the way when the day is over, how it's recorded in a billion Tehillims throughout the world. Because we have just the opposite. We have that the spelling is Nafsho and the pronunciation is Nafshi. And according to the Ibn Ezra, it should be just the opposite. The spelling should be Nafshi and the pronunciation should be Nafsho. So this is number two. Now we go to number three. Hashalishi, what is the third interpretation? Shakasuv nafsha yukri nafshi. Oh, this is what we do. Now, this is what we do. It's still problematic because it's not according, that's not really the Messiah. He, in the beginning of this, he said, he quoted all these Mepharshim that say, the real Sephardim that are precise, they don't say this. But he writes over here, Hashalishi shakasuv nafsho ukri nafshi kemosha the isi bisfadim kisuve yod midu yokim. Okay, the Ibn Chashai said in the versions that I have seen, this is correct. It's not Kasha on what he quoted above, because he was quoting from other experts. He was quoting from other experts that say that the books that they looked at, that they believe were precise, it said it's not called the Kri V'Chsif, it's just Nafsho straight, Nafsho. But the Ibn Ezra himself, that said, the Ibn Chashai says that my research has led me to conclude that indeed this is a Kri V'Chsif. Kri V'Chsif, the other way around, V'chein Espashit HaMinig B'Sifri HaDfus. And this is Jewish custom. Okay? Hanach Lohem Eli Yisrael in Einam Nevi'im B'Neinim. That's a very big dilemma. Do we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guarding the Mesorah? And if it came about the Hashkacha, that this is what the printers have over the generations have handed down to us, this is the way the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be. Or do you say, no, everything is a mistake, everything in life is a mistake. This is a very big dilemma, Hashkafic dilemma. How much do we assume that the Ribbono Shel Olam is guiding things like this? Where obviously hundreds of years ago when the printing press first came into existence and there were people at the controls and those people were not necessarily the most learned and they made decisions that for generations we're living off and those decisions and not everyone agrees they were correct. The Ribbono Shel Olam was there, he put certain people to be in a certain place at a certain time. No. Because the hashkafa is HaKadosh, this is what it's meant to be. Okay, this is a very big dilemma. How far do you go with that? V'zeo gam kein das radak. K'moy shokasa b'feirush apostle v'chein kasa v'chacham rabbi yoyna v'hamedatek. B'sefer harikma. B'shar nima shenem arba l'shoyin. V'achefetz bo zulosa. I don't know, these are very names of these very esoteric things. Nishva Hashem alukim b'nafshoyin. I'm just reading over it very quickly because in this time we're not going to spend time on this. Look at the incredible bekiyas he has. Okay, the Minchashai was a goyim shebegoyim. Kemosh v'esh kavod morein horav Rabbi Yehuda muskatozal. Zil kray hasen vechein kasa b'shuv kovod marein harav Rabbi Yehoisef chazok zal lechvoy marein harav Rabbi Ezra mi ponoy zal. I don't even know. I never heard of one of these people. Mayor, he knows these people. These are his friends. I never heard of these people. This is a very explosive statement. And he says, don't bring rayos from Midrash. Just because you're going to find in the Midrash, they're going to quote a pasuk, don't bring a ray from there. It's Adarabba. They bedafka write it the wrong way to bring out what they're trying to darshan. So don't take, when you want to go, find source, you have a question like this, and you go to the Medrash, there's a Medrash that says Darsh is not she. Midrashim is not a place to look, to validate, to authenticate a Girsa. Because the Midrashim have their own agenda, and Adarabba, they're trying to manipulate the words, which they're permitted to do, they have a license to do. That's not a Raya. The Imyesh, the
Girsa problems there.
That also, Gifia kriya oitar vehoin kachado the yesh emunikul masuris, chumash asachacham ibn shu'eh. This is a famous person. This person we've heard of. The ibn shu'eh, the parasha shmos shaber rishoina akri vaksiv halazeh uvasrach yehvi amidah she'ena dorish alak osof. Whatever all this means. Vematagim kvar noida darkoi. Oh, this is very interesting what he says over here. Vahamitagim kvar noida shadarkoi alaroiv lasakin adibur achar pshat hakosof. Okay, so this is another explosive statement. Now, first of all, the Targum on Tehillim, anyway, does not carry weight like other Targumim. The Targum on Tehillim is not Unkelis, it's not Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. The Targum on Unkelis is not a heavyweight. How am I to say that, right? What a nasty thing for nothing like me to talk like that. But I'm not. That's not really not what I'm saying. This is what the Mefarshim explained. There is no targum on. There is no real targum on kisuvim, because in kisuvim, the that we'll discuss is a revelation of the Keitz HaMashiach, not just Sefer Doniel, but in the big picture, the entire collection of the Sifrei Kisuvim is one big revelation of the Keitz HaYomim. And therefore, if there would be Targum, we would know when Mashiach is coming. It's a gezerah before Hashem not to know when Mashiach is coming. Just like there's a gezerah before Hashem that no person should know when he will die. No person, it's an incredible concept. The two sides of the same coin. It's a Gemara Masechet Shabbos. David asked Hashem, tell me, when will I die? When is my moment? Hashem says, the gzeirah milafanai. No living creature knows when his time will come. The gzeirah milafanai. An extension of that, the world is a living organism in the big picture. And when the Mashiach comes, that's the end. That's the end of this world. There's no longer going to be an opportunity of bechira chofshis. When Mashiach comes, it's like the world has died. It's like death. The world. It's not a good thing, Mashiach to come. Obviously, you know, this is a good thing. Yes and no. It's everything in this life is very complicated. Because the Mashiach will come, no longer will men have an opportunity to earn reward through free will. It will just be too obvious. So the coming of Mashiach is equivalent to a person dying. And when a person dies, there's a gezerah. No one's allowed to know when he will die. So too, the coming of Mashiach is a gezerah. No one is allowed to know when Mashiach will come. And therefore, that's why Hashem said that Yonasan ben Uziel, don't you dare. Don't you dare attempt to translate the words of the Ksuvim. Therefore, the Targum on the page here in Sefer Tehillim is not a real Targum. Targum Unkelis on Chumash is sacred. It's Misinai. Unkelis Hager, he just put in writing what was handed down from Sinai, and Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, his Targum also is sacred. It's also Min HaShemayim. It's a different type of Targum, but it's Min HaShemayim. Tehillim doesn't have a real Targum. Someone came along and wrote a translation. Is the translation sacred? It certainly is. No one's denying that. The person who wrote this is sacred, but it's not on the level where you can bring it, he's saying, to prove what is the correct translation, the correct spelling and pronunciation. Because anyway, the Targum will manipulate the way it's spelled and pronounced to bring out the message of the pasuk. That's the goal of the Targum. Okay, over here, the Kippur Rabbah Simon says, "Besor, look, if you have Shadoi Gvarnu Shadakos Shalom Rabbah Sakin Atiba Chapshar Kosov, Dam Lo Yiksha Mimash Lo Nimne Zeb Besoris Meinun Dixim Vav Besoif Tevoisa." And here's another interesting thing he says: do not ask a question. The fact that it's not counted in the Mesoris, those Dixim Vav Besoif Tevoisa, the Karidun Yud. This goes back to what he said above. He's now coming to address the question mentioned in the first paragraph. And that is, we have a Mesoira of 41 times where a Vav turns into a Yud. And this is not part of that list. How then can the Ibn Ezra say it's a Kriv Chsif? It's spelled Nafshoi, and the pronunciation is Nafshi. How come we don't have that? So the answer is, Ki pa'amim rabbis matzasi masaira de nochasei liminyana, which attempts to count every single instance, v'shoirei, and it's not precise. This is explosive, out of the water. This is an explosive thing that he just said. He's coming over here to say, to knock out the Mesorah Gedol and the Mesorah Ketana. This is beyond explosive. They would ban the whole Shemin Chashai just for this. Okay, if they knew what he wrote. I've made many, many times, there's a count, and I go and I check it out, and the count is wrong. So therefore, this is also wrong. K'moshe k'safti b'parashas b'shalach al haslov. The zimnim debachei, sometimes it's too small. Kugoyim hacha dimsar mem aleph milin uveproton ata. When you really make a calculation, ata moitzi yoiser. Okay, on page 217, the number is not correct. Umash akasav Rabbi Eliyahu. He's going back to the first paragraph where he quotes this Rabbi Eliyahu, who's a midakek, and Eliyahu says, sheto hasoifrim bein ze ubein. Pada naf shi me'avor bashochas pasuk in Iyov shukri naf shi v'chenimsa in mem alef milin dixim vav v'kain yud. Is talking back to the same exact thing. Achare hamechila mimenu. Okay, I beg forgiveness from him. The mincha shai, I ask mechila from Rabbi Elio that he made a mistake. Nireshu hu hatoya. Woohoo! You see this? He made the mistake. Rabbi Elia says the printers made a mistake. I, Mincha Shai, say that no, the printers knew what they were doing. You, Elia, you made the mistake. Whoa. Sharp words here, huh? The Adarab Ibchoksif, Pada Nafshi, Ukri Nafshaik. He's going into the details. Don't get me on the details. I don't know the details. The nim so love shukhad min chav dalamil and the sevier besef yatevosa, vokerevav, and seven nims abisar gedola. Mareches oisio the oisem emalaf dixim vav v'kinyan yud the simon bar Shmuel. I don't know what all this means. Gam loy echt aloy mar. I'm not going to hold back from saying ki b'mesores hadafush shalom b'minyan oisios ziirois kasa vav lashav loy nasa ulay nafal bilbul b'svarim bein vav lashav levav nafshoy the samachlei. He's saying and the other thing he's quoting only, there's a mistake. Is this like dangerous stuff? This one made a mistake. This one didn't make a mistake. He's picking and choosing. You have an agenda, you have an opinion, and he's saying, Elia, you made a mistake. And this one didn't make a mistake. The printers didn't make a mistake. But the Mesorah Gedolah did make a mistake. Like, Ramesh, it's a jungle here. This is Ramesh, a jungle, what's going on over here. Mincha Shai is doing over here. El Hashem es Anavshi, Shiatzel Nafshi Mishrash Sheker. He writes over here, and he concludes over here with a nice little... Play on the words, yes. Here. El Hashem Nafshi Esa. So over here, after we've discussed this long discussion, is it Nafshi Nafshai? So he concludes with some poetry. And he says, the Mincha Shai says, I lift up my neshama to Hashem and I ask him forgiveness just in case I was disrespectful or said the wrong thing. El Hashem Nafshi esa sheyatzil nafshi misrasheker v'chiper al asher chota al hanefesh. V'nafshi yishoyvev yanchein b'magli tzedek l'man shmo ein masher kasavti b'yevchav gimel. Okay, so he included in this nice little expression, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive me in case I said the wrong thing over here, and everything should be kosher v'yosher, and we should all live happily ever after. What's the bottom line from all this? The bottom line from all this is this beautiful long Ibn Ezra. There are three possibilities, in his opinion, the Ibn Chashay, three possibilities. Either there is no kri v'chsif, it is straight out nafshoy. Get, just move on. Move on, forget about all of your what you've been taught. Take out of the text here this, these brackets. It's nafshoy, finished. V'zehu. Then he presents the Ibn Ezra that says pumfakert of what we have over here in our text. The way it's meant to be spelled is nafshi. That's how it should be spelled, and the pronunciation should be nafsho. The opposite of what we have in every single Sidur and Tanakh in the world today. And then he concludes at the end, he puts a lot of emphasis on this, and I'll tell you the truth. I will tell you, trust me. I will tell you the truth. And b'mechilas kvod Reb Elia, you tell me that everyone is, that you're wrong, Reb Elia. And the Mesor Gedoyla is wrong. And I know what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you the correct way is what we have here in the art scroll. The spelling is nafshoy, and the pronunciation is nafshi. That's the bottom line, and Hashem should forgive me in case I said the wrong things. These are the three mahalchim in what the word is. Now, with that idea, let's just go back and review the Rashi, because Rashi says them both. Rashi says at least gives you, and as I told you yesterday, and we said evil today, is it's really very simple, in a very simple way, without getting into any esoteric Kabbalistic concepts, it's who is saying this pasuk. Every time you learn a pasuk in Chumash or in Tanakh, you always have to say, when you teach you in kindergarten, Mi Omar El Mi. Okay, you take a class in yeshiva. Mi Omar, you read a pasuk. Mi Omar El Mi. Okay, who said this pasuk to whom? It's like the most basic thing you learn in kindergarten. And unfortunately, you get a little bit older, you read psukim, you get a little flustered, you forget about it. Who is the subject? Who is the speaker? What's going on over here? Let's just ground ourselves in the world of reality. Me, Omar,
pasuk,
El Mi.
We learn the first pasuk. David says it after we got the Ruach HaKodesh. So Ruach HaKodesh said it.
Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, so many interpretations. Me, Omar. If this pasuk was said by Hashem, then obviously it would make a lot more sense that it should that it should be spelled and pronounced nafshi. Hashem is speaking. Hashem says, "I'll tell you. I'll give you an answer to your question. Who could ascend the mountain? It's a person. My answer to you is a deki chapayim uvar levav asher loy nosa lashov nafshi." If Hashem is speaking, that's what it should say. Now, when we will read the pasuk, will it be derech eretz for us to say that? Maybe yes, maybe no. The Ibn Ezra holds it's not, he says explicitly, it's not derech eretz for you, a human being, when you're quoting Hashem, what Hashem said, for you to repeat mila b'mila what Hashem said. Because when you repeat mila b'mila what Hashem says, there's a lack of derech eretz. So therefore, even though Hashem actually said, he gave an answer, asher lo yinosol lashav nafshi, when we repeat what Hashem says, we say, asher lo yinosol lashav nafsho, derech eretz for Hashem. On the other hand, maybe David is giving this answer. David is the speaker. And David says, based on my assessment of kol ha-Torah kula, and the way that I've been taught from my teachers, the person that has the koyach to ascend on the spiritual mountain is an honest, good person who does not swear falsely by Hashem's name. And then it's Niki Chapaim Uvar Leiv of Asher Loi Nosol Lashav Nafsho. Nafsho, Hashem's neshama. He does not swear falsely by Hashem's neshama. That's now that's one interpretation. According to that, there should not be a kri v'chsiv. It should just say nafsho. Why then does it say the word nafshi? It should just say nafsho. So you can answer one. You can answer one of two things. You can say is that Hashem's neshama. You lose someone here says that on the page. It's called nafshi. This is Kabbalah, Kabbalistic concepts. That you, when you refer to Hashem, you say Hashem's neshama. But you can say Asher lo yinoso lashav Hashem. And the way you, what Hashem's, in this aspect, the real definition of Hashem is nafshi. It's really a Kabbalistic term. You don't want to say that, so we switch it to nafsho. And that is another approach. But halacha l'maisa, what do? Halacha l'maisa, it says the word nafsho, and we read it nafshi. So what does that basically mean? It's similar to the Ibn Ezra, but with a different twist. Who is the speaker? The speaker appears to be David. David is saying that a person who is eligible to ascend the mountain of Hashem is a good, honest person who does not swear by Hashem's name. However, even saying that is disrespectful. According to the bottom line is, it's spelled nafsho, and the pronunciation is nafshi, which means what? David is speaking. David is the medaber. And David is mi omar el mi. David omar li Yisrael. David is addressing the Jewish people. And David is telling Klal Yisrael, do you know who is worthy to ascend Hashem's mountain and to remain there? It is an honest person that does not swear by Hashem's name. Now to say, even to say that to a sensitive person is disrespectful. Because you're describing a person who has committed an Avera. A person has violated the third of the Aseres Hadibros. You don't want to promote sin. You don't want to talk about people who do Averos even for a good reason. It's not a good thing to go talk about people. Once you plan this, the Hasidim, they're very into this type of idea. I don't know why, I don't understand, but the Hasidim, you don't want to even discuss people who do Averos. Even though we want to highlight them to tell, don't be like that person. Once you highlight a person who does an Avera, people begin to think, oh, maybe I should also do the Avera. If it was good enough for this person to do the Avera, I also could do the Avera. You don't even want to do that. So to say, for David to say, what did David actually say when he addressed the Jewish people? Don't be a person who swears falsely by his name, capital H, by Hashem's name. People hear this. Do you actually mean to tell me that in the world there are such terrible people who swear by his name falsely? And you have to warn me, don't be like him? You know what's going to happen? If you say it too many times, this pasuk, you're going to start focusing on the sin and not focus on don't do the sin. So out of respect, not to even mention that there is such a person that would conceive to do such a thing and would swear falsely by Hashem's name, you say it about yourself. You did not swear falsely by my neshama. By my neshama. That doesn't make any sense. When a person swears, you don't swear by your neshama. You swear by Hashem. When you take a shvuah, the shvuah is b'shem Hashem. There's no such thing as taking a shvuah in your name. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. I hereby swear by my name. Who are you? You're a nobody. Who could care less about you? I swear by my name that I didn't do this thing. Crazy. You swear by Hashem's name. You swear by a standard. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the common standard. I swear by Hashem's name. Your name, you're trying to prove your name has value. We don't even know if you're an honest person. I swear by my name. Who are you? You're the person that is subject to scrutiny if you're an honest man or not. Your name is worthless to the courts. You swear by Hashem's name. So, but why do we want to say that? Just like the Ibn Ezra said, it's not respectful. To acknowledge that in the world there are people that swear falsely by Hashem's name? We don't even want to say that. So instead we are mishane the word into a statement of nonsense to allude to what it really refers to out of respect for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the end of the day when we have an hour gear. So that's the end of the day. That's the way we present the pasuk in our gear. So the nafshi, David is the speaker. And David really, when he made this statement, David said nafsho in reference to Hashem, out of derech eretz, to Hashem. We don't, derech eretz, to the people that we shouldn't even say such a thing. Like everyone knows, when you learn in the Gemara, you never say the word nikalel. You say mevorech es Hashem. The last week's parsha, there was a person in the machne, he had a fight, with there was a Ben Ish Mitzri, and he had a fight b'machne v'yinotzu b'machne. No one wanted to let him come into their camp because his yichus, it was not clear which shevet does he belong to. He tried to come to Shevet Dan, and what did he do? He's v'yifroish es Hashem v'yikalel. So when you talk about the sugi v'yikalel, you never say he was mekalel. You say he was mivorech. Why? It's not their cheretz to say such a thing. It's not their cheretz to say such a thing that a person in this world would swear falsely by Hashem's name. So we say, we swear falsely by your own name, which is basically nonsense. And that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Okay, so we've done this pasuk, and we're done with this pasuk. And here from tomorrow, we move forward to pasuk hey. All right, let's take a short break.
There's no letter for him. It just says Kalyama. That's like
she never told us.
Yeah, okay. That's not a spell.
He wasn't interested in spells.
Okay. So this is for you.
Okay. I wonder if you put out a mail about you don't even know
your money. I know. I'd love to look through it.
You get lemon lime, soda, those five bottles of diet.
And he took the bottom line of Igos Mashiach.
But he also has in the back, he has Shilas and Piashmua. You're going to
Har Yitzchak.
You're a postman?
Yeah.
Black was
I don't know.
It's better than going to the ball game.
Are they going to cheat?
No, let's put it this way. The Democrats are the cheap artists.
Yeah. Right, and they don't care for it.
They don't need to do that until the general is done. But there's this one race that's troublesome in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They tried to do what they did in Cleveland.
He
likes to live off the public trust. Park Slope people.
Does he have a lot of money on his campaign committee that he can use?
He's not running a public. He's running in 10. He's talking about 10. Not in 12.
Now the ones that came
against Carolyn Baloney. They did away with that. They did away with that. No, they did actually do away with it. They changed it. But still, there's a piece of Borough Park in another county. That borough has a piece of Borough Park. So did De Blasio, city council. Put Borough Park anywhere near Park Slope. But at least, today, in the official, at least three, this whole side was
very cool. It's
spared.
What if I invent the case?
Who invented this cool thing? No, to celebrate not the day. It's like unbelievable how huge these people are. So who spoke up against her? Rick Scott. He spoke out.
How far off the charts they are. And well, there's more of them coming. That's the Democrat Party. More of them are coming.
You could be wrong. Thomas
Sackey
Gordon?
Yeah.
Thomas said that he won
price today.
Yes, they priced it so high.
Yeah, they stopped the whole...
So they should have to move to electric
vehicles. The whole car with the Levine and Homer.
Which aren't that easy. That's unaffordable.
No.
I listen to this. No.
Okay, everybody, so let's begin. Let's talk today. Okay, everybody, so let's begin. Let us talk today about the topic of the Zohar HaKadosh. Zohar. Leah, don't you know the